step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 539. I am Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined finally and once again by Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Guess what? I bet you know what. We stream this live at KOOP.org. Please do not go away from your radio dial.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Come to this house.
It is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. On the show today, we have the Vortex Rep and their event, Salvador Dali's Naked Feast. And then later on, we will have 1448. And we will also be joined by the Bulb Story Slam. Stick with us.
Dun 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 dun.
I was doing the hand movements.
Yeah, rock and roll, Tommy.
Which radio listeners can't see?
I was. Tommy, the album. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Get it? No, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy, can you hear me?
Hello, that went over everybody's head.
I'm gonna smash the mirror. Well, when you're standing in front of a microphone and you say, "Can you hear me?" You know. So that was indeed from Tommy, and it's coming back.
It's going to be revived.
It's going to be revived in 2021,
yes.
Directed by Des Makanoff, who directed the original. Have you ever seen it?
Yes, I have seen it. And actually, you and I went and saw it together at Zach.
Oh, that's true. We did. Well, I saw the original. I think more than once.
I was about to say,
friends involved with it.
You said you saw it more than
not, once. Not 100% crazy about it. I actually, and you won't hear me say this, and forgive me, Zach aficionados, I liked the Zach version
better.
I was going
to say, you said that when we saw it. Yeah. I remember you saying that to me.
Because I don't typically say that, but that one I liked better.
I've seen versions I've liked, and I've seen versions I haven't liked. Yeah. But overall, it's one of those albums that's great to jam no matter what.
It's a jammy jammers.
I like to
jam in my jammies.
I like to jam in my jammies,
all right,
too.
Well, we have a jam-packed, speaking of that, we have a jam-packed show today. And let's introduce the folks that are here. I'm going to go from my left because that's what I do. We have Sweet Van Loan.
Hello.
Hello. We have Laura Spraggins.
Hi there.
We have Brianna Garcia.
Hello.
Mr. Max Lengert.
Hello.
We have Amber Lackey.
Hi.
Tamara Farley.
Salutations.
And Melissa Vogt. I almost went out of order.
How dare you?
Yeah. So we had four Broadway openings.
We did.
And there's just so much to talk about. We're really going to... I'm not going to really... I don't think I really want to say much about any of them.
Yeah.
Other than... so
they opened.
They opened. I'm going to go through real
shows.
Quickly. The Lightning Thief that opened on Wednesday, exactly a week ago, reviewed by Jesse Green in the Times, calls it a failed attempt to board the teenage fantasy angst train.
Oh. Ouch.
Referencing okay. Dear Evan Hansen, Be More Chill, etc. Not good at all. Nobody really liked it. Too bad. I'm going to just jump through these. Usually I really like talking about bad reviews because they're so much fun to talk about because of the language. But I'm not going to do that.
That's just mean.
Charles Isherwood actually did like it. He said, happily, the show, nimbly directed by Stephen Brackett, has retained its charmingly funky DIY ethos. It started off Broadway. It was really small, and evidently it didn't make the leap very well from off Broadway to Broadway. And so that's that. We're just going to be done with that. The other one that happened here. The other one on the other side of the coin is Mary Louise Parker in The Sound Inside.
Yes.
It's huge. This is a play by Adam Rapp at Studio 54.
He got her back on the stage. She didn't want to be doing the stage again. And she read this and was like, oh, how do I not? Yeah. And I was like, how do you not? Thank you.
It's a two-person play. But she plays a professor that has just been diagnosed with stage two cancer.
Stage two cancer?
Wait, we're going to talk about this, and then I totally forgot. We have a job at hand, don't we, Max Langert? Anyway, two-person play with Mary Louise Parker, who plays the professor, and her student, Will Hockman, who does his Broadway debut in this one. Then what I really love, what Jesse Green said in this review, he says, but it takes a third character, David Cromer, who's the director, to bring the staging to its...
That's a kudos shot. I like that. And so, I like how it was written.
Yeah, me too.
That's why they write for the big
ones. So I'm just going to real quick, like we've always talked about the crazy words they use in... reviews. So here's one. I'll read this in context. That this never becomes twee is miraculous. Twee. Anybody?
Spell it, please.
T W E E. Twee.
Oh, twee. Like a wee?
Too precious.
Teeny?
Is it like too precious?
And you're getting that from context, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. But it's affected. Hard to say.
Are you affected?
Affectedly timid or dainty or quaint. Another word.
I kind of like
in
that,
same,
actually. I think twee might be added to the vocabulary.
Well, it needs to be, but they
make it a thing.
Here's
so
another one that I'm just going to.
So twee.
Rapp's singularly gloomy Wettenschlag.
Whoa. That sounds
Wettenschlag. It's a German word. It just means worldview. So why didn't he just say worldview?
That's some DIY
All right.
ethos.
I know. Anyway, great review across the board for Sound Inside. Let's take a little a tangent here. As part of our show, later in the show, we're going to be talking to 1448.
Yay.
Woo. Yay. In one sentence, what is 1448?
It is just all hands on deck experience for performers and theater people to get things done in 14 plays in 48 hours.
Great.
Not sure if that was a complete sentence.
No, it was a good sentence. So basically, we draw from a hat some themes and ideas. Playwrights overnight write a 10-minute play, and then the next day, all day, directors, designers, actors, also all drawn randomly from a hat,
yep.
get together and produce these plays.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do a miniature version of that here on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So we have a hat filled with ideas, and we have a playwright here, Max Langert, and we're going to draw one, and Max is going to go out and create a one- or two-page play based on this idea. Who wants to actually draw the thing?
Oh,
okay.
Oh. Brianna's hands
Brianna's going to draw it, and then get right up on
we
that microphone
roll.
And Dun. Announce it.
What is Brianna going to draw?
Okay, it's Crickets Take Over Coop.
Co-op.
Crickets Take Over Co-op. Okay. Darn, I wanted mine to go.
Mine didn't get it.
You won last year, so.
I did win last year. Okay, so Crickets.
That was funny.
Crickets Take Over Co-op. You ready,
cool.
Max?
I got it, yes.
All right.
I'll be back in like 15 minutes.
No, you're going to be back in like 25 minutes.
Great, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, see you then.
All right, let's keep. Yeah, take your time.
Three, four. Anybody in?
Yeah, the Vortex. Play. Some of them are in, some of them are not.
I'll play.
Okay. All right. The other thing that opened was the Sound Inside. We just talked about that one. Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors with one Jonathan Groff and my boy Christian Borle.
Yes. How's he your boy?
Yeah. Because he is.
You
I love
can't
him.
Share him?
No.
He's
can't
mine
share
too.
Him. He's mine. Anyway, bottom line, everybody loved it. Go see it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see the Pasadena Playhouse one.
Ooh, me
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So the Pasadena Playhouse, we had talked about them on the show. The woman who played Audrey is transgender.
That's with MJ, right?
MJ Garcia. Yeah.
Rodriguez.
Yeah. There's that's my racism showing right there. MJ Rodriguez. Gorgeous voice. I did not know she was trans.
Yeah.
Somebody had to tell me. I was like just applauding the general feel of the show, and they go, you know, Audrey's trans. I went, I did not know that. So that's that. And the last thing that opened on Broadway is American Utopia, David Byrne.
Yeah.
And this is very much in the, and I was thinking about you, Nicole, as I was thinking about
this. They announced today they're putting out the album for it, too.
It's already out.
Yeah, it was all pop, but they're doing extra stuff for it. He's doing some extra stuff.
It's on iTunes. We're going to be listening to a little bit of it in just a moment. But
you know my love of David Byrne.
Yeah, so, well, but this is very much in the vein of Bruce Springsteen in a lot of ways. It's a concert on Broadway with a theatrical twist.
Very different. Bruce is beatnik behind a piano. David Byrne is up and around with choreography and lights and costumes, and it's different.
Sounds like a party. Yeah,
It's different but the same. We'll have to agree to disagree with that.
The same is they're both musicians in the pop culture world on the stage. No,
one is David Byrne.
Byrne has writing Broadway credits. Bruce Springsteen does not.
The same is actually David Byrne has off-Broadway writing credits, but it's okay. The same being it is a concert of a popular musician, and they take that concert and they treat it in a theatrical view. Agree or disagree, that is what everybody else other than Nicole Shiro thought of Bruce Springsteen. It's true. I mean,
he's a man behind the piano doing beatnik stories.
Okay,
nothing wrong with it.
Darling,
it's just...
you've said that twice already in this show. So this also, really nice reviews.
So when he played ACL Festival last year, he did like a mini version of this America Utopia. So you got a lot of what this show is. Right now, if you went to ACL Festival last year.
Cool.
And I was very excited when I saw it.
So those are the Broadway openings. We had a couple of off-Broadway. The Little Shop was an off-Broadway opening.
Yes.
Yeah. We had two other off-Broadway openings, which is Bella Bella, the Harvey Fierstein one-person show about Bella Abzug.
Jessarine
was not a fan.
No,
of
I saw that and I was like, oh. Yeah.
I called it Harvey Fierstein's cobbled together PowerPoint of a play about the firebrand New York congresswoman of the 70s. Didn't like the show, didn't like the performance, didn't like much about it. But what I found interesting when I read this review, it looks like the set is just one big bathroom.
That's I was very perplexed by that myself, yeah. Lisa. I was like, really?
Yeah. So, and then the final thing that opened to raves all around is a revival of Four Color Girls. Who considered suicide when...
Under the rainbow. It's a very long time.
When the rainbow is enough. by Nodazaki Shange. And major raves for that. And it was groundbreaking when it opened in the 70s.
Yeah. Yes.
It had nothing like that had been written before. It is not linear. It's not a cycle of monologues. It was just all very, very different. But that's that.
Who's directing that?
I'm very glad you asked that question. It is a New York Times critics pick, and it is directed by Leah Gardner. And choreographed by Camilla A. Brown, which the choreography was called out here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for the reviews. So I want to talk about, real quick, like there was an article in the New York Times about the Tonys. Well, it was about all the award ceremonies, ungendering the awards,
mm-hmm.
and it's come on the heels of some people that are non-binary that don't fit into the category of male or female, and people are asking specifically in this case the Emmys to.
I was like, I think the Emmys were the ones first. They're being asked
by Asia Kate Dillon of Billions. The Grammys have long since they did away with them in 2012. MTV doesn't use them now. But the Oscars, the BAFTAs, the Tonys, and the Emmys say they're not going to change it. And I want to know what folks think about that. Anybody have any opinions one way or the other about whether... Melissa, vote.
No, I think it's great. I also haven't the ungendering of the awards. I also haven't watched an awards ceremony in such a long time that... I'm wondering how are they doing it? How are they announcing it? I mean,
best actress, best actor, best female actor in a play. Sometimes they say female actor, sometimes they say actress.
I think they got rid of the gender to say actor and actress this past Tony's, actually. Well, I don't know about all the other award show, but it's either, yeah.
Sometimes they say actor, female actor or actress.
Female actor, yeah.
One of the
in
things
leading
I never...
role, in supporting role, in like...
But are they cutting the categories in half?
No. So they've always been... Traditionally, most of these award ceremonies have said best actor in a thing.
But if
best
they actress did ungender it, yes, it would cut all the awards in half. Okay. That becomes
right.
The
so problem.
It would essentially be like the best performer of...
Correct.
Yeah. And, best leading performer, best supporting performer.
Or they'd say, actor. Is it, I use actor when I discuss anybody, regardless of gender.
As do I,
As a gender-free term. I think it's brilliant. I think it should be done.
So absolutely. One of the arguments, and I didn't think of this, one of the arguments against is what will happen is what happens in the already non-gendered categories like director is it's just going to be a bunch of guys that win. And one of the arguments about saying, okay, do that, because what's been happening is they have to look at themselves and change. So what would probably happen is suddenly women won't be winning any awards for amount of years before that all fizzles out. I never really thought of that as
baby
an
steps.
Argument.
But also, I would also think non-white people, too, because you're finally getting in looking at all sorts of folks that aren't just little white faces up there, and that would be taken away from. So there's it's that double-edged sword of how do you fix it all at once, make it work.
I'm still all for it.
I still agree with that. It's just performers who really love their art and who love just seeing other people achieve these goals. I think it's really important, but I still think it's important that we respect people's gender pronouns, you know, and how people identify.
Agreed. All right, we're plumb out of time. I just do want to say Jen Colella, after 5 years of performing with Come From Away, is leaving. She's been with the show from the very beginning.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And then I'm not going to bother with that one. Oh, you wanted to talk about some of your highlights.
So last week, I got to see Hugh Jackman again, but this time I got to see it. Keila Settle joined, the cast. And not only did she sing This Is Me, she has a new album coming out of original music, and Hugh gave her the stage to perform some songs. And I, like a dork, didn't send them into Lisa to put them on to play later. So next week I'll try to play one of them, but OMG, give me some more. Thank you, Mr. Jackman, for that. And then I went and saw Viet Gone at the Alley Theater. OMG, if folks want to get to Houston, it's playing till November 3rd. It is brilliant. It is like Hamilton meets a straight play, meets a love story about this Vietnamese parents. His playwright, Quyen Nguyen, he is amazing, up and coming, writes for Netflix and also for Disney. It's a 5-piece play he wrote as a love story to his parents and their parents' love story. They met at a camp in Arkansas after the war. So it's not about the Vietnam War, even though it takes place. It is a comedy, and it is brilliant and one of the best things I've seen in a long time.
Awesome. And it's playing at the Alley on their main stage?
Yes. It's not. It's in the Newhouse Theater. So alleytheater.org has info. It's playing till November 3rd. It's a 5-person cast.
And that's just a spit and a jump from Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
All right.
So
let's playwright is just brilliant.
He is going to be
She Kills Monsters that we did for summer.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love that play.
I think if you look up who he is and you realize where he, like, you see the playwright, you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, this guy, we're going to watch him do. Oh, just so good.
Okay. With that, we have to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to the Vortex about Naked Feasting.
Yes.
Okay. So here's your choice. Never mind. Just we're going to listen to this. This is Suddenly Seymour. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Can't get rid of us. Back together again.
I love it. But Shiro and Sheps.
We won't be together. We won't be together next week. All right. Let's talk about Naked Feasting.
I do it often. I was just doing it under the counter here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's radio. You can do what you want.
Exactly.
I'm doing it right now.
See?
So let's reintroduce the folks that are here from the Vortex. We have Melissa Vogt.
Hello.
We have Amber Lackey.
Hi.
And we have Tamara Farley.
Hello.
And so, Melissa, tell us about The Naked Feast. This is the fourth, fifth, sixth year? How many years?
Yeah, we started, it's Salvador Dali's Naked Feast, and it's a very surreal performance installation cocktail party that is also our big fundraiser for the year. So all of this benefits
all
the Vortex.
The above.
Yeah. And Dali attends the feast himself, and it is a very surreal experience. We encourage people to dress up.
Or dress down.
In whatever ways they desire. And we just have a big party. We have a silent auction. We serve the Casanova cocktail, which is from Dali's own recipe. And it has got a kick. And it's very spicy.
I was just
going
to see, is that his recipe? Because I have seen... You just got me.
It's oh, sweet. Yes.
It's
I know
sweet
about this.
And hello. Spicy.
It is sweet and spicy.
Yes.
Ooh, it's so good.
Just like us, Lisa.
Oh, yes.
We got live music and tango. We've got a lounge. Oh, it's just a good old time. And multiple performers. So
now, Melissa, are you directing this year? Is it who's
I'm not directing. Bonnie is directing. She's
Bonnie's
out of
directing.
Town right now.
Okay. Oh,
but I'm facilitating since she's out of town. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Amber, what's your role in this?
I'm going to be playing music on stage, so I'll be like in between the burlesque and in between the omelets. And
what do you play?
I play ukulele.
Oh, I love the ukulele.
Oh, yeah, it's real friendly.
I know.
Yeah, my very dear friend Tiny Tim taught me how to play the ukulele.
Did he really?
Yeah, I only can play one song though.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
I did. Tamara, you are the stage manager.
Yes,
she holds the whip.
Well, the interesting thing when I have not been able to ever go to one of the Naked Feasts, but I see, and I will suggest to folks if they wanted to go visit vortexrep.org and look at the trailer, because you get a real sense of what this thing is all about. But it seems like kind of a minefield from a stage management perspective.
Oh, absolutely. The first time we did it was a full weekend event. We did three performances. And it was intense and a great time setting up the platters three nights in a row. Mm-hmm. And now we have streamlined that to one big event. We had people coming back to us after our first shot at it saying, that was so much fun, but I want to do it again, or I missed it. When you get, please do it again. So we are.
So what is it? So what does that entail from a stage manager? Does it take place in the theater, in the Butterfly Bar, outside, everywhere?
Like, yes, right.
Clearly not sitting in a booth calling cues.
No, no.
So how do you keep everyone
with
check?
headsets and minions?
So you have to have multiple eyes.
I use that word respectfully.
And you know, like after having done Performance Park, was such a huge big installation thing.
Yeah,
The Naked Feasts were kind of a prototype of Performance Park, and then Performance Park really honed those techniques. So
it was our warm up for Performance Park. It was.
We're feeling really confident.
So now this feels like a walk in the park.
It does. It's a walk on a tightrope in the park. But what I should also mention that the naked platters are naked platters.
I was going to ask that question.
You eat food off of.
I remember
bodies.
Bonnie talking about that last time.
Yeah, it's a full part of the event. You can witness the building of the platters.
So let me ask you a question. Let's just say for the sake of argument that I'm just slightly skeeved out about that.
Right, yeah.
Are there opportunities for me to eat without taking food off of a human
Absolutely.
Tray?
Absolutely. So the platters, the tables are very large, and there's food on people and there's food not on people. And this year I'm doing the dessert platter, and
What are you deserting us?
What do you mean? You are the platter?
Oh, no. Okay.
So she's a walking...
The person that normally does our dessert platter couldn't do it this year, so I'm doing an entire like candy themed buffet, like multi-tiered table, and we didn't have a person, so I'm doing like little Barbie dolls. The candy off of Barbie dolls.
Yes.
Just having a great time. So
they're so perky; they'll really hold a lot.
Oh, that's right. They enjoy it.
So let me just. So this is an event that is a performance. What if I? What time does it start?
Gates are at 7.
7. Mm-hmm. So let's say I can't get there till 9. Can I still come in and still be part of the show?
You should absolutely do it. It's really free flowing.
So I won't miss anything.
You won't miss anything. There's not like a plot that you have to follow, but you will see like performative aspects happening all the time. Like Amber's lovely music.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. We're going. It goes till midnight. So yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I was just about to say,
asleep.
So how long are you guys? 7. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's perfect. So you really could go in and out.
And, although, and the bar is open until 1. Right. So you could come and like have after party with
you
us.
You
know,
out all night.
Although, when I went to see Performance Park, I went early. Mm-hmm. And I just got through everything towards the very end. So mm-hmm. in order to experience everything, do you suggest folks get there at the top? Or does it really matter all that much?
The like Tamara was mentioning, the actual building of the platters, the like arrival of the platters, they get themselves settled, and then the setting of the food on them is somewhat performative. Yeah. If you want to catch that part, you should get there early. But there's a swirl of activity and different things. You're not going to know if you missed something earlier because there's just stuff happening all the time.
So here's the deal. Let's say I'm a platter. Okay. I'm a platter. I've got sushi and other canapes going on.
Well, back up,
because
you have to shower first.
Yeah.
Well, then.
She is a clean shower.
She's a clean shower
and
platter.
Groomed platter.
I'm
That's
clean.
Right.
I showered a week ago. So and I shower once a month, whether I need to or not.
If she's nice, I hose her off.
But what happens if I get a tickle or something like a cramp?
If there's a platter emergency.
I have to jump up.
Okay, so we actually have platter tenders. We have people that are stationed around the platters that are there to assist the platters.
Very good.
They can be massage their leg if they get a cramp or help them up if there's an emergency and they have to get up.
That sounds exciting. So definitely when we were talking about this, I'm not going to bring my 7-year-old to this.
No. Mature audience is only
this is an adult thing. And where can...
They may live in a free loving commune.
It's true.
I mean, I would assume it's a parents' choice.
We do say it is mature audiences only.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
And yet inclusive. It's a vegan platter.
Oh yes, we do have a vegan platter.
And then a meat and cheese platter.
Of course.
Oh, that's
and then
very
the,
awesome.
Like, if you're a diabetic, I'm sorry, the candy platter.
Well, awesome. So when does this take place?
It takes place one night only this Saturday, October 26th.
Okay. And again, it's from 7 until midnight-ish.
7 until midnight-ish. And vortexrep.org has all of your ticketing needs.
Well, awesome. Well, that was great. Thank you.
It's super exciting. I love that.
I did not say this up front, but there will be no backstage at Offstage today. So unfortunately, we'll be saying goodbye to you unless some of you are staying to participate in our play.
Yeah, I'll stick around.
I was about to say, I think you do. I think Max wrote y'all in. I'll participate.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming and have fun with the Naked Feast. Mm-hmm. I will be 1448ing, so I will not be able to be there once again.
Yeah.
But thanks.
Thank you.
They're going to be missing a platter.
That's true.
Next year, Lisa, we're going to
get
you.
Next year.
That would be interesting.
If she could still for 5 minutes, I would love to see that.
Okay. That was Melissa Vogt, Amber Lackey, and Tamara Farley of Vortex Theaters, Salvador Dali's Naked Feast on October 26th at the Vortex. For more information, vortexrep.org. And this is kind of fun. This is from a show called The Birthday Feast.
Because I just love to eat.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
Let's just very quickly go through our local stuff. But before we do that, we have a whole bunch of people coming up. Actually, I'm going to have...
They sauntered up here like choreographed. Like the way you all came up, that was phenomenal.
They did. I'm going to ask Soups because we didn't get to introduce her. You can just yell it out from here. I need you to yell out a number between 2 and 52.
5.
She said 5.
Oh, everybody's been going on the high end. I love that you gave us a lower number.
Here it is. Let's see what it is.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhardt, and you're listening to Offstage on the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Sandra Bernhardt.
We haven't heard Sandra in a while. That was a nice choice.
It was
we mixed
number
it
five.
Up.
Okay, very quickly, I just wanted to talk about UT is doing Spring Awakening.
Yes.
Spring Awakening. It's happening. It's kind of in the future. November 6th through 24th. I cannot speak. It's directed by Anna Skittis Vargas and has, I assume, a cast of students because I don't know any of those. Wait, somebody's laughing.
She sat in the chair and then sank 2 feet. Like, totally.
It was quite a significant distance.
She was right in front of the microphone and then reaching out like, no.
That's funny.
It was funny.
It looks like a lot of fun as Spring Awakening can be. Speaking of Jonathan Groff.
Did you see the other show that they announced today, too, at UT? The new Isabella Rossellini
show? Oh, I did see that, the Isabella Rossellini.
I did not know she was going to school for animal behavior.
I did not know that either.
And so she wrote the show Link Link Circus, yep. And she's writing it and performing it, and it's with puppetry, and it's about the connection of non-human living beings, animals, and the animal. I was like, this is fascinating, and did not know this is what Isabella Rossellini has been up to.
Yeah, she's getting a doctorate in animal health.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's already got a...
I find her fascinating.
A honorary doctorate in creative something or other, but that's pretty cool.
She's fascinating, her parents are fascinating. She's one of those people you're like, interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right into Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History, Lisa, yeah. What happened?
So it's interesting. We just heard from Sandra Bernhardt, right?
Yes.
Well, back in 1844, Sarah Bernhardt was born.
Her long lost birthday. Spelling.
Yes.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire. And then in 1928, the Marx Brothers came on Broadway. It was a hard year. The Marx Brothers came on with Animal Crackers. Anybody a Marx Brothers fan?
Oh, you and I talk about them anybody? All the time.
The little boxes that had the little...
No.
No, like Groucho, Harpo.
Groucho, Harpo, Chico, Zeppo, and sometimes Gummo.
Yes, I was about to say, give me the other.
And yes, so they did a show on Broadway called Animal Crackers. It's also a movie. But yes, there is the cookies that are Animal Crackers. And,
which they recently took out of the cage. If you notice, correct. The animals are free now.
I know. Yay!
About a year or two ago, check out the boxes. They are already done. They are out of the cage. The elephants are roaming.
Nicole is on fire today. 1942, there's a stage adaptation of Richard White's A Native Son that Orson Welles directed.
Yes.
And Canada Lee played Bigger Thomas.
1942.
Hmm. Another austere year.
Mm-hmm.
Auspicious year was the word I was going for. And in 1963, for the first time, Mike Nichols collaborated with Neil Simon to direct Barefoot in the Park.
I was about to say, I think that was a Barefoot
in the Park.
That movie is still just like.
And that movie awesome starred sauce. One who? Robert Redford.
And one, yes.
What?
Keep going.
Yeah, if you're not on a microphone, we can't hear you, so. Okay.
Oh, say Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Jane Fonda, yeah, that was hard.
I was letting you do it, sorry.
even though nobody could hear her. But the stage play was done by Robert Redford and Elizabeth Ashley.
I was like, it was
Elizabeth. I find Elizabeth Ashley very affected. She's twee.
She's twee.
She's not. She's the opposite of twee.
Oh my God, that just made my day.
Also, on this date, 1972, the show Pippin opened.
You saw that. They had magic to do.
With Ben Vereen, John Rubenstein, Andrew, Irene Ryan, Jill Klaber, and Leland Palmer. And this I believe to be true, and I say it all the time, but I have fear that it's an urban myth.
What?
That Irene Ryan, who played the granny, the grandma in Pippin, and also played granny in the Beverly Hillbillies, sang her one number in the show, Gotta Start Living, walked off stage and died.
Yeah, didn't she? I thought that was true.
I'm pretty
as well.
Sure that's what happened. I think it's amazing. What a way to go. Yeah, see, what a way to go. If you're going to go, that's the way to do it.
It's what happened to half of the cast of 70 Girls 70, why it's not on all the time. I kid you not. Like, look at, they all dropped dead. All during the show.
Hey, 1997. There was a musical adaptation of Marivaux's Triumph of Love, which I'm not familiar with. Anybody familiar with Triumph of Love?
No,
I'm not either, but this cast is what caught my eye. Betty Buckley, F. Murray Abraham.
I love me some
Jewish
F.
pronunciation
Murray
is
Abraham.
Susan Egan, Kevin Chamberlain, Roger Bart, Nancy Opel.
That's an awful cast. Yeah. Would they have done better?
And now I forgot about this, and it wasn't all that long ago. Back in 2002, Chechen rebels took over a theater.
In
Moscow.
Yes.
And the show was called Nord Ost. They took the entire audience hostage. There's a 3-day standoff.
I was like, it was days. Yeah.
And 129 hostages.
Multiple people.
129 hostages were killed with the gas that the authorities put in there to neutralize the terrorists and killed the hostages, 129 hostages. None of the hostages were killed by terrorists.
So, I thought there was like two or three before. I thought there were two or three that were killed by the terrorists before they came in. But it was bad. It went on for days.
That'd be zero killed by the terrorists. In 2013, your friend John Kander and Greg Pierce opened The Landing.
Yes.
Starring David Hyde Pierce and Julia Murnay at the Vineyard Theater. Walter Bobby directed it.
Walter Bobby.
That's it. Other birthdays. Laura Benanti, who I'm still not speaking to. Lauren Ambrose, who I am speaking to.
Who you are speaking
to. Oh, no, you know what? Oh, my God. Never mind. It's not her birth. It's not their birthdays. I thought this was the birthday list, and it isn't.
Oh. What other list are they doing?
Isn't it interesting that Laura Benanti and Lauren Ambrose have a birthday the same day?
Wait,
and
they're both in My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady. But this was the day that Laura Benanti took over for Lauren Ambrose.
Well, that's another fun fact.
Not her birthday at all. So
whose birthday is?
It's Maury Yeston's birthday.
Oh, Maury Yeston. He wrote the musical Nine. We love him.
Yeah.
Hello.
And Lindsay Hatley, who I don't know.
He's also a professor at Princeton. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Yes.
All right.
Fun facts with Nicole.
Okay. We're going to walk away with a little music from this tune is on the current release of the original Pippin album, but your job is to figure out who's singing this song. I guess I'll miss the man. Okay, we're back. Can't get rid of us.
No.
Lisa
we're
and
never
Nicole.
Leaving. Naked we're... feasting all night, all day.
All day, all night, Cary Grant.
Yes, okay. Yes.
That's a whole song. I'll do later. So we are welcoming. We never really got to announce her, introduce her. Lissandra Soups Nicole is here.
Yes, I am.
How's it going, Lissandra? Soups?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Good. Now, were you on? We've had the bulb on the show before, haven't we?
Yeah,
I think Danny was here.
Danny was here.
Yes, this is your first foray into our show.
It is.
Awesome.
Just fancy words.
So the
today.
Bulb Story Slam. What is that?
So it is a live storytelling event that is also a competition where the audience gets to participate in voting for what story they enjoyed the most. We have 6 to 8 live storytellers each night. They have 5 to 8 minutes to share their stories. And then we have a panel of judges who judge the storytelling ability. And then at the very end, that's when the audience gets to participate and vote for their favorite story.
Awesome. Well, this is an event that's been happening roughly monthly for the past, through this year.
Yeah.
As often as we can. It's happening at Ground Floor Theater, so I'm intimately involved. And I have to say that when we first started this, I love storytelling. It's something I've always wanted to have at our theater. But I was truly amazed at the quality of storytellers in the Austin area. It's amazing. And I might add, Soups is an incredible storyteller herself. So I will say that. But it's amazing how great the stories are.
Yeah, I knew Austin was known for like art, but I always thought it was visual art mostly. And I think the storytellers in Austin really blew my mind away and could compete with like any area that's doing storytelling.
Oh, okay. Did you hear that, Austinites? She just gave you a shout out.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree. The storytelling is amazing. The stories are fun and funny, sometimes poignant.
Yes.
And if those people are familiar, you're very much kind of, it's moth-like in many ways, is it not?
Yeah, it's very moth-like, except that the difference is we curate our show a little bit by having pre-signups. The moth draws from a hat each night. We have a little version of that where we do have a sign-up list, but only two of our storytellers each night come from that list.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a fun night has for all. And I don't want to spoil it, but the audience voting is, we have a unique way to do that. So I would encourage folks to maybe want to think about experiencing it because it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think the way the audience gets to vote is one of the highlights of the show. Might be the highlight of the show.
In the past 8 or 9 events that we've done, do you have a favorite story or favorite storyteller?
Oh, that's got to be hard.
That's really hard. My favorite storyteller was Kevin Burke.
Uh-huh.
He is a firefighter in San Antonio, but lives in the
Austin
area.
He had a great story. Oh, my God.
Yeah, anything he does is great. But I think my favorite story was a comedian who told about this like lady who emerged from a river and like joined their tubing group, who really like needed help. And he was trying, but she just kept emerging no matter how far away they got, all the way into the parking lot. That was really funny.
Oh, my. Yeah, and I there's a sacrifice story that's done by one of us. And I was all set to do it one night. I've not done it. I've never told a story on stage. I'm terrified to do it. And but I've always wanted to try. And I was all set to do it that night. But unfortunately, due to some circumstances completely out of our control, we had to cancel. So I have yet to be a sacrifice story, but I think I'm going to be doing...
Yeah. Did you just like, say a sacrifice story?
It's a sacrifice story. It's not part of the judge. It's judging. It's
so
just,
basically, it's called sacrifice because storytellers are going to be judged. No one wants to be judged first.
Oh, okay. I thought she was self-deprecating here for a minute. And I was like, okay, so that's so that's interesting. There's so many different ways.
So here's the deal, kids. I'm scheduled to do it.
Yeah, I was like, aren't you doing
this Monday? What's the theme this Monday?
The theme is it's still a mystery.
It's still a mystery. And it's still a mystery about whether I'm going to do this or not.
I was about to say, is Lisa appearance part of that mystery?
I do have a backup story ready to go, but I want to challenge you to do it.
Oh, I plan to
like
do that.
I like your challenge.
So off stage and on the air, listeners, you know, if you want to see me make a complete wondrous person of myself, see? Opposite of self-deprecating.
There you go.
So it happens. This next one happens
October 28th, this coming Monday, at Ground Floor Theater. 7 p.m. is when doors are.
7:30 storytelling starts.
And all that information is at bulbstoryslam.com.
Yeah, bulbstoryslam.com is where also you can go if you're interested in telling a story. You can sign up. We're pretty much done for the end of, for this year, and we're going to switch to a quarterly. Scheduled next year, and we're going to shake it up a little bit. It'll be a little bit different, and so it's going to be—it's very exciting. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think all the changes coming are going to make it an even better show.
Yep, I agree. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I don't know if Max, if you were here as part of the we're performing a play, an originally written play that's being written even as we speak.
Oh.
So I don't know if there's a role for you or not because you weren't here when we divvied up. But stick around if you'd like. There is no backstage at offstage today. But thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That was Lysandra Soups Nicole of the Bulb Story Slam. It happens this Monday on the 28th. Doors open at 7 o'clock at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, bulbstoryslam.com. And, I apologize for this.
Raise a glass to the four of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us.
I'm not really sorry for playing that because I just love it. But, you know, Hamilton is so ubiquitous. I forgot to ask folks, did you listen to who sang I Guess I'll Miss the Man from Pippin that I played a little while ago? Anybody want to take any guesses who that is?
My guess was? Is off, so give it to me.
What is it?
No.
You're not going to do it? Anybody?
No, once I heard her without the backups, I was like, oh, nope.
All right, it's not necessarily one person or billed as one person.
Okay, well, give it to us.
It's the Supremes.
Oh, what?
Yes. Yep.
Not where I was going.
So I have to admit, there's also on that album is Michael Jackson singing Morning Glow, which was my original choice. And then I thought, no, not going to play Michael Jackson. Can't do it. But there was also the Jackson 5 singing Eagle. What's the song?
Corner of the Sky.
Corner of the Sky. Thank you.
I love that you did that. She was flapping like a bird.
Flapping like an eagle. So that's very interesting. I don't know when they added that to the original thing, but when I looked at it on iTunes today.
I think it was the re-release, like 20-year.
All right. So let's bring back, or not bring back, let's bring and officially introduce the 1448 folks. We have here Sweet Van Loan.
Hello.
Hello. That's a lot of energy. Brianna Garcia.
Hello.
Laura Spraggan.
Hi there.
And Max Lengert.
Hi.
So somebody tell us with a little bit more detail what 1448 is.
Yeah, so 1448 is a theater festival that we have here in Austin. It actually started in 1997 in Seattle. It's now in several different locations, including overseas. The Austin Committee here, we hold it every year. We're holding it October 25th and 26th, Friday and Saturday. And I was like, I can't. Basically what happens is we get a whole bunch of creative people who are going to pull a theme out. They're going to write the plays out overnight, and then that next morning the directors get to pull the plays randomly, pull their actors from a hat as well. Everything's completely random. We spend the whole day practicing and getting ready for you to do a show that very night at 7:30 and 10 o'clock, and then we just go and repeat it again on Saturday.
And these are all relatively fully produced. There's costume designers, there's lighting designers, there's set designers that work with the directors and the actors to get these things going.
Live band and everything.
Yeah. So what's your role this year, Sweet?
I am going to be playwriting and acting this year. Yeah.
Which night are you playwriting? Which night are you acting?
That's up in the air. We'll find out. Really? It's a surprise.
Okay. Cool. And Brianna?
I'll be acting again this year.
You'll be acting again. Excellent. Yes. I did not get to direct you last year, did I?
You directed me like 2 years ago.
No, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Okay,
you
good. Did.
You directed me.
Excellent. And Laura?
I'm acting on the Saturday shows.
What are you doing on the Friday shows?
Oh, I'm just
taking the day off.
I'm just hanging out. You're just hanging going out? To work. All doing right. The normal stuff.
Okay. And Max Langert is a playwright for this. And how many years have you done this?
I don't know. I was just thinking you might ask me that and should have thought about it. 3 or 4 years. I'm
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's
last
pretty
year you
amazing.
Said 3, so I'm pretty
okay,
sure it's
good.
4
I'm
now.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. It must be 4 then. Yeah.
So, very much in the vein of how 1448 runs in macro, we just did this in micro.
No, that's right. Yeah,
I did it right. Okay, I was going. Did I say that in the right way? So we just did. So half an hour ago, we drew a theme, which was
crickets take over KOOP.
Crickets take over KOOP, and Max just spent the past half hour writing it. And we have it. You know, were we able to get copies?
I was. It was a little complicated out there.
I was about to say, totally. And you
because we did not set that up ahead of time.
And we didn't set that up. You are magical.
I just want to say that I thought this was a half an hour show, so I was flipping out at like 1:25. I thought I would.
Oh no!
Anyway, here we go.
So are we going to just hand these out randomly, or
I'm
you're going to sign parts?
No, I'm going to. Well, I don't know. Okay, I'll just do it.
Do it. Okay, Max is going to do this. Typically, what would happen is at 8 o'clock in the morning, the directors pick from a hat the number of the play that they're going to produce, and then from that play we'll tell how many actors that they pick from a hat, and then those are your actors. And that's basically what's happening. And currently, Max is operating as...
he's casting.
He's casting.
Yeah, he's rolling. It's okay. Rolling casting.
All right.
I'll get my microphone up here.
Yeah, come up, those of you that have roles, come here and get up to a microphone. And Nicole will give up hers. I will give up mine because I didn't get a role. Max, do you want to set this up? Do you want to introduce the show?
My intro will be longer than the show. This is a teaser for what's to come. Just think of it as an appetizer. It'll leave you wanting more.
Okay.
That's all I got.
This was written just in the last half hour by Max Langert, and this is, does it have a title? Is the title Co-op, Crickets Are Taking Over Co-op?
Yes.
This is the 1448 players playing Crickets Are Taking Over Co-op.
Oh, it's been a long, hot summer.
It's going to be a long, hot year.
It's going to be a long, hot century.
At least it cooled off a bit today.
Hopefully they'll all be gone by December.
Yeah. Wait, what? What'll be gone?
The bugs.
Oh, bugs. Yeah. Mosquitoes.
Well, sure. Those are annoying.
Cockroaches.
They're never leaving.
Outlive us.
Seriously.
And crickets.
Oh, crickets. Yeah. You know, they're not so bad.
They sing.
Dance.
Smell pretty good.
Say what?
They smell pretty good if you get up close.
They actually taste pretty good, too.
Oh, my God.
Smothered in chocolate. Oh, gosh. Get a grip.
You know what else, though?
What's that?
Chirp.
Oh, no.
What happened to Sweet?
Chirp! There's just this...
Hey,
chirp!
Yes. Okay, something weird is going on.
I know. There's a strange little feedback in my headset.
Not that... chirp.
Just look at your feet. It's nothing but... chirp, chirp.
Wow, check that out. I guess this is our last human radio show. Next week it'll all be... chirp, 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 chirp.
Yay, give us the hand. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Fabulous.
And, I love that, Lisa, you cast yourself there at the end.
Well, I was a cricket. So we have a pretty large theater, ground floor theater, and every now and then there will be one cricket in there, and it's the only thing you can hear.
Oh, well, they were all in the news like 2 weeks ago. They had invaded Austin and were everywhere.
Yeah, well, they
like to do that.
So, Max, that was a great show. That's what's wonderful about these four-page plays. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
And I love it, and it followed the theme. So are you looking for, you're writing again, are you writing for both shows, both nights?
I only can write for the Saturday show this year.
The Saturday show. Yeah. Are you looking forward to it?
Very much. I will say that for some reason the constraints and the pressure of doing it have caused, like, it's sort of like you can't really think too hard about it. And a couple of the best things that I think I've ever written have been during this festival.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Do you do anything cool to prepare for it, do you just come in as an open book?
It's terrible. I think about drinking coffee, and then I think about drinking wine, and then I just kind of do it. And I just, you know, that's, and then I just get the pen and paper out. So,
and you just get it done. Sweet, you wrote last year too, didn't you?
I did.
Both things last year too, right?
I did. Yeah.
It was such a cute show. That was one of my favorites.
Yay!
And was last year your first time to write for it?
It was, and I've been begging to do it because I love writing, and they finally let me do it.
Oh, good. And are you writing for both shows? Yeah, you may have already told me that, but I may not have been paying attention.
I'm slated to write for one, just in case they might want to add me in.
Okay. Cool. And then what does one do as an actor to prepare for this?
Oh, make sure you get lots of rest. One year I did drink too much coffee, and I learned my lesson the hard way. And literally just
don't want to know.
Yeah. And then literally just remember to have fun. We're doing this for fun. Otherwise, why would we put ourselves through that?
It is fun. I think some of the biggest unsung heroes of 1448 is the design crew, the design and build crew, because they are everywhere, and they are designing costumes, lights, sets for seven shows twice.
And they had some pretty interesting things they had to do last year. I think our Friday show was Bears and Robots. I'm sure you can imagine how difficult those costumes were to put together and find in such a short amount of time.
Yep.
Great. Okay. So this year's 1448 happens when?
It happens this Friday and this Saturday.
And where?
At the Zach Scott Theater.
Which stage?
The Wizen Hunt.
I was just about to say, that sounded like I was like, we're going to take it on the road.
And where can folks go to get more information?
You can go to 1448austin.org.
Great. Well, wonderful. Thank you guys for being here. And we'll see you on Thursday night at the first meeting.
Yay!
Okay, that was Sweet,
fun.
That was Sweet Van Lone, Max Langert, Laura Spragans, and Brianna Garcia. For 1448 happens this Friday and Saturday, the 25th and 26th, at the Zach Theater on the Wizen Hunt stage. For more information, 1448austin.org. We'll be right back.
She's coming on the 448.
We are back. You're listening.
How did you find like 48 and all that in a song? I was like, I know. Lisa Schaff.
It almost sounds like 1448.
It did.
That is from a show, and I meant to look this up to see
what the show was about.
Yes, it's called Hooray for Daisy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a
British show.
And then you have to say Step in Time, Hooray for Daisy.
That's right. That's all I know about it. So we did it. We did another wonderful show.
There was a lot of people and a lot of fun.
There was indeed. What was I going to say to you? I missed you last week, and you're going to miss me next week.
I know. I know. I'm going to see if I can send you that audio to help me put on of Keela for next week.
Can do that. So we haven't had you on the air since you were at the hot Austin City Limits.
I wasn't hot weekend. I was there the first week. You know what? They said it was the hottest ever. It did not. I feel like didn't there was hotter like before. No, but it was definitely a dust bowl by that first Sunday. So I'm sure the second weekend people look miserable with dust bowl and coats. It was really good. I mean,
highlight?
Lizzo, well, you know, Lizzo from what you could see, because they did not expect that
no,
stage.
No, they did not.
Whoa, that was bad planning. Could have told them when she hit a number one hit earlier this year. But I have to tell you, I had this conversation with people. Whether you like Guns N' Roses or not, they eloquently reminded you that Slash is one of the best guitarists out there. And the fact that Axl Rose can still sing those notes in the same key, because I can tell you the Stones don't sing in the same key. Sting doesn't sing in the same key. McCartney's not in the same key. And Axl's in the 60s and he is singing in the same key. It was impressive.
So is he singing in the key of life?
It's key of life. Key of jungle. Awesome. Welcome to it.
Well, I was not.
This was the lineup I didn't care about the most this year, but this was one of the years I had the most fun just exploring new things.
Excellent.
And I'm all about a silent disco, new best thing.
Oh, did they do that?
Oh, they do it. Yeah. And it's, you know, you watch the people in the tent, you're like, boy, they're having a good time, but what are they listening to?
Are they all listening to the same thing?
No, there's multiple channels, but ACL only has three. Some silent discos have more, because I think it's fun when you try to figure out if you're on the same channel as your friend next to you and how long.
I think it would be more fun to see everybody at least on the same beat.
It looks like it for a while. It's so much fun to watch, even if you don't participate. Yeah. Silent discos. I'm down.
Cool. I've got to experience one. So that's it for the show. Thank you for coming. Remember, we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Oh, we're not on Instagram. We should be on Instagram.
We'll
but
get
we're
on
not.
There. If you reset my password for Twitter, I'll get us all back on the social well.
Okay. I don't think it's changed. But anyway, so remember you can get us also via iTunes as a podcast.
Yes.
And
best way, offstageonair.com. You can just put your name in the little box and we will just appear each week. Voila. And if you missed an episode and you weren't signed up before, you can find them all there too.
Voila.
But you can leave you can us how awesome we are on
And remember,
the
there is no Backstage at Offstage. I was just looking at the clock here at the studio and trying to figure out when I had to stop. And they are two
they are on
they're
like
wildly different times.
Very different
so,
times.
And then I went and looked at my computer, which had yet a third
my
time.
My computer is a totally third time, yeah. Too.
So,
wham, 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 wham. We are
so therefore,
in time
we're just gonna wrap,
and space.
We're going to wrap up and let Austin Monitor News take over. Remember, there is no Backstage at Offstage this week. And hoping all your theatrical experiences are happy ones.
Yeah.
That's the end of that story.
I guess you should be saying go Astros because they are in the
go
World
Stros.
Series.
Go Stros. It was sort of hard though against the New York Yankees.
Oh,
look
yeah.
at me. Are you
I'm bitter.
Impressed that I know about that?
I am. I'm very impressed.
All right. So let's listen to a little David Byrne from his Broadway show.
Yes. You may find yourself